Hey, Redline Radio listeners, you can find us every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new zero sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like fruit punch and lemon lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today.
Experience your drives in 10K with the all-new QI10 Max driver from our friends at TaylorMade. QI10 Max is the most forgiving driver TaylorMade has ever made, with 10K MOI for maximum stability and forgiveness at impact. More forgiveness means more long and straight drives, even on off-center strikes. The days of missing the fairway are numbered. Shop the QI10 Max, QI10, and QI10 LS drivers, plus schedule a custom fitting at TaylorMadeGolf.com.
Hey, how you doing? Tony Wasinski, official Aerator Podcast. Happy Thanksgiving. Here he is. Frankie Berger said he's carrying the bird. He's ready to carve.
Hello.
Are you doing okay? How you feeling?
We're doing all right. I'm here. I got the bird. Going to drizzle some Miller Lite on it. I'm very excited. Very thankful this Thanksgiving. Thank you for having me.
I understand there was some big controversy in the Bergesetti household this weekend pertaining to my nephew, David, and you, and how to cook the bird this year. Dave wanted to deep fry it.
He's a foul boy. You know, he was talking about putting a bunch of fragrances on the turkey, you know, wiping it down with a pair of panties, I think they were. But, you know, I just prefer Miller Lite and the bird in the oven. So I had to put David a little bit in check this week.
Yes, and I understand that after this very heated debate about these panties, you guys sat down, had a great tasting, less filling, resolved all debates, as every great man should do, with a great tasting, less filling. Have a nice cold one with the buddies.
Absolutely. Miller Lite, great taste, 96 calories. Go to MillerLite.com/redline to find the delivery options near you. Or you can pick up some Miller Lite pretty much anywhere that they sell beer. It's Miller time. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Happy Thanksgiving. This is Barstool Carl.
And White Sox Dave.
Chief.
Eddie.
And this is Redline Radio and All Gas No Break Chicago Sports Podcast, brought to you by Barstool Sports Chicago and brought to you by Miller Lite. Thanksgiving holiday is here. We only have one show. We are going to cram a lot into it. I guess off the top, it sounds like Matt Nagy. It sounds like Matt Nagy's out. That's the rumor.
Do we believe Pat?
Well, here,
all respect to Pat.
What did you had the fucking best take about it, Eddie?
I found out that my, you know, the Park Ridge Five Guys was closing from Patch. So, I mean, I
laughed out loud. I laughed out loud. Instant retweet. So funny.
I got no reason to doubt them.
They're credible. They're credible.
The rumor is Matt Nagy will coach Thanksgiving, but he has been told that he is out as the Bears head coach. It's the first time in the history of Bears they've gotten rid of
102 alleged years.
Listen, we could all come back and this is a lie, but for purposes of today.
For what it's worth, I've been seeing other people report that this Mark Conkle, who works for Patch, has won a Pulitzer.
Yeah.
So
Pulitzer, isn't it Pulitzer?
Pulitzer.
I thought it was Pull.
Both, actually. So
I've always said Pull. Who said? What is Dave saying?
Pew. He like it's Pulitzer. A Pew.
I feel like that's a fancy boy way to say
that's
it.
That's a reach.
Yeah.
But I think he's actually right. But I'm still going to say Pulitzer. Anyway, so yeah. So Mark Conkle, maybe he scoops Shefty, and they're making a big change. So
Conkle, that's a reporter's name.
Conkle.
Conkle's on the beat.
Mark Conkle.
Yeah, I feel bad for the guy. I mean, maybe he does have a legitimate source, but people are really focused in on the Patch.
Yeah.
Well, the guy has to know when he's running it. It's like, all right, I'm the Patch.
For some reason in my head, like, Patch is actually, like, upstanding journalism. Like, I don't think this guy would just,
like the Patch.
I never, like, look at it, but I know what it is, and there's just, like, people grinding away on, like, stories like yours, where it's just, like, the local shop is close, or this is the parade route, and just
isn't
like,
that their
parade route's a big story. Parade route hit the parade news and route is yeah.
That's
big.
Their tagline. I'm pretty sure it's like local,
yeah,
like national news, local taster. It's something like
but
that.
And like
yeah.
Every single community has a Patch, like they all,
yeah,
have
exactly,
yeah,
right.
Like I don't know how their staff or like how they make money, but their staff has to be like thousands of writers.
Well, our Patch is on it.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like we have a little bit of beat. There's shades of 2007 offseason hunting Alfonso Soriano here, where you're just hitting F5 on the computer all day waiting for the refresh.
I will say, though, like if Matt Nagy has already been told, wouldn't you just be like, you know, I'm just going to
fire me because I quit.
Yeah, I'm just going to like stay home and have Thanksgiving with my family. Like, fuck off.
Is it weird that I don't think that's out of the possibility? Like, I think he may resign.
No, he has got to get his contract.
Yeah, but something in like
payout.
Something in that man's face tells me that he's not okay.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Oh, the face that he had after they lost and they were asking about the chance.
Yeah.
And there was a camera angle that was kind of from below coming up to Nagy. So it was like you were like looking up at Nagy sitting down. And you could see the hollowness in his eyes as the reporter was like, did you hear the chants? And he's like, no. And then they were explaining to him, like, the chants about firing you. And he's like, I'll do anything to win a football game. You could tell the man was, like, broken, defeated, ready to go home. And
all right, breaking as we're talking about this. Matt Nagy is meeting with the media right now and says Bears head coach Matt Nagy, this is from Kevin Fishbane, Bears head coach Matt Nagy asked about the report that he's been told this will be his last game as head coach. Quote, that is not accurate.
Okay.
So, all right.
We have an unequivocal defense. Yeah,
I mean, that doesn't mean a whole lot at this point, I would say.
That's not accurate means he could get fired right now.
That's not accurate meaning, like, maybe he hasn't been told. So okay. Maybe the guy has scooped Nat Nagy himself, and not to brag, but I knew Colleton was fired before Colleton did. Mm-hmm. So, like, maybe Conkle actually has something.
I knew you, Darvish, 7 weeks before they even made the call. You sometimes the winds of
– yeah.
Now, maybe, obviously, sure. Most likely this means what everybody else thinks it means, and that Patch is probably mistaken of some sort.
That could be.
And he's going to ride out this year. Because, let's be honest, nobody in this room really is holding on to the fact that he's going to get fired before the end of the season, right?
No, I'm entertaining it.
It was refreshing to see.
I'll tell you what. I was mad after Sunday.
I was mad Sunday.
Oh, I was laughing,
could tell.
Man. I was at the game. In a box, no big deal.
Why were you?
And when they took the lead in the fourth, I started laughing kind of maniacally, like Walter White when he found out that Skyler gave away all the money to Ted Beneke, and he's in the in the crawl space just laughing. I was just laughing because I knew there was 0.00% chance they were going to win that game.
I'm beyond
being mad, man. Yeah. I'm beyond it.
Yeah.
It was just funny to me.
Dude, the timeout situation, it was just – it was beyond anything, man.
But, like, weren't you happy after, like, an hour?
I was – well, yeah, because I'm happy in the sense of it really turned up the thermostat on getting this guy fired. I mean, you look at what happened at the Bulls game last night. You look at the chance that were happening at Soldier Field on Sunday. People are beyond done with this guy.
Yeah.
Beyond done. So – of course, a good thing came out of it, but in the moment, it was hard not to be mad from my perspective because that's just unacceptable to lose to a quarterback who has 16 pass attempts. Our offense was stuck in mud the whole time. Dalton comes in, we score on two plays.
Hold on.
Ravens
real
do not
quick
have
on
a good
that,
defense.
On that, do you know who the quarterback was?
Tyler Huntley.
If I would have asked you guys that before he said it, would you guys have known off the top of your head?
I remember him from Utah.
I forgot his name already. I remember Utah too. Northwestern beat him in a bowl game, no big deal.
But I saw something about quarterbacks that have emergency started or emergency played, I should say, significant portions under Matt Nagy put up phenomenal numbers, and the take is like, how bad is this guy at fucking preparing the starter?
It's horrible. 0-4.
But like, if you just pump somebody in there, they do okay, and if he's not filling your head with thoughts throughout the week about the defense and you're the backup just sitting around getting coffee, thrown in a dip, you do fucking great when they put you in there.
And to be clear, that might throw some people off because it's like, well, like it's on the defense to not lose to Tyler Huntley. Yes, defense did a good job aside from the last drive at the end, but your offense has to be able to generate more points and move the ball better and just put the defense in a better spot. And the offense didn't do that. and it was gross. It was a gross game, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm. It was
gross.
Can we? What about the players? Jalen Johnson said strongly that there's no more talking. I'm sick of talking. I'm sick of speeches. What are we? Figure out who we are. Why this and that. He had like very explicit quotes that basically out him. Nagy's like, play. He's out. Allen Robinson's podcast host had like reported sources close to the Bears that multiple players, Chief had blogged about it.
Overwhelming amount was.
Does that as a fans then give us more like space to be like, we're right, like fucking fuck this cocksucker? Like, does it get us a little bit louder, angrier?
Yes, because I think the one thing that people held on to was that the locker room never turned on him. Remember that?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Where it was like as much chaos and as much disarray there was, the locker room was still intact. People still had his back in the media. And that seems to be going out the window. To be honest, I haven't seen a ton publicly, though. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of hearsay similar to our patch report. But, I mean, you got to believe there's some truth to that. The players aren't dumb. They obviously know what's going on in the field, and they hear the fans in the stands. So,
well, and it's like everybody in the NFL level is like an expert in football, and they've all played for other coaches. Fields played for Ryan Day. You know, like these guys have played for other more competent coaches. They know what it looks like better than anybody. And I think that eventually they just have to be like, hey, this is not it, and that's where we are. Yeah. So.
And then I see people being like, all right, well, this is good, but let's not forget about Ryan Pace.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Pace is gone too. There's no way.
Is a door now.
You don't get three head coaches. I mean, you just don't.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. You can't.
Ted Phillips?
You can't. No. He's safe. He'll be safe forever.
But it would be nice if they just audition people to run football operations and just kind of silo it too. So
I agree.
You know, like.
That's what I said about 2 weeks ago. If the Arlington thing's real, it's like, Ted, like, how did everything like there? That's a huge project, huge job, probably an exciting new, fresh job.
Big time.
Like,
yeah.
Why are you, like, why worry about that? Worry about getting the closed five guys into, like, some type of strip mall into that project over there. Don't worry about fucking getting Ernie Accorsi in here for 10 days to interview candidates. That's
this guy's going to get fucking dragged across the coals. If he's wrong on Nagy.
You think so?
No.
Oh, dude, he's going to get
Conkle?
Yeah.
I trust Conkle.
I think Conkle is... I wonder if he's tweeted since then. Mark Conkle. But, like, I don't think Patch is big enough, and it's like when that story broke...
This guy's got a Wikipedia page.
Conkle does?
Yeah. Like, legit Wikipedia page. I mean, obviously, he could have written himself, but this guy's not a joke.
So, when this came out like an hour ago,
narrated a thing on CNN about Chicago.
This thing came out a couple hours ago. He had like 4,800 followers. He's got 6,800 now. So, there's going to be a lot of pissed off people. 2,000 followers in one day. I mean, that's half of, like, he just got 50% more followers in a couple hours. He's going to. A lot of people are going to be pissed off at him, I think.
He has not updated his Twitter, so it is what it is. So it's, I don't know. I don't think
he spends his time reporting on violence in Chicago. Sounds like
Nagy also addressed here, I'm reading, the chance at his son's football game in Lake Forest. When I'm in the role I'm in, you have to understand where people are coming from and how they react or don't react. I was there to watch my son play a football game. I was there to be a dad. It was a pretty cool time.
He gets it.
Pretty good response.
I'd say that's a really good response.
Conkle got fired a couple years ago from a position for being a bully.
Hmm.
No, really?
Yeah.
I kind of like this guy even more now. What was he bullying?
Colleagues. It's bad. It's bad.
Maybe we can find a spot for him in the Barstool Chicago office.
I don't think so. South. No. Actually, take that back right now because it's like bad stuff. Like, very
okay.
Bad
well,
stuff.
If that's
like,
the case,
dissociate
then.
Yourself from Mark Conkle heavily right now.
Disavow.
Well, that's
I disavow.
That's, I mean, Dave saying that he loves this guy even more. That goes with the theme of the program here.
You know, come on.
I mean, I thought it was just a little. You know,
I think we just want to see Matt Nagy get fired. Which reminds me, listen, hey guys, holidays are around the corner. It's time to talk a little bit about clothing stocking stuffers. Maybe it's make a significant other happy. Maybe make yourself happy. Breathe free and easy. Get comfortable. Check out Bare Bottom Clothing.
I love Bear Bottom.
Do you?
Yeah, they sent us a box of clothes. I got the joggers. It's now like one of my favorite hoodies that I wear, just plain black. It's the one that Dave photoshopped me to make me look 400 pounds in the.
What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay. And but yeah, it's super comfortable. I'm like, it's one of those pants where it's like mine are like a khaki color, mm-hmm. so I am totally comfortable like wearing them out like to the bar, and then I come home and don't feel the need to change. It's like the perfect any situation all day. Love their joggers. I think that would make a great gift.
Yeah, especially this time of year, people are so conscious about laundry intake. What Chief's talking about here is, you know, wear them on the go, lounge around the house. You guys don't have to be doing a bunch of wardrobe changes.
What else are people conscious about this time of year?
I think
being these pants stretch, Carl.
Okay, they're stretch. Yeah. Stretch fabric that's made right. to last. Why is stretching so important?
Yeah, if you're this is like the bulking season, right? So you get let's say you get a large, right? Let's mm-hmm. say you get a large, mm-hmm. and that's your normal walking around weight. Holiday season, you might bump up to an extra large. You don't need to do that with Bear Bottom. Yeah. They just stretch just enough. They're going to fit you. Like I said, they're comfortable. They're great. Can't endorse Bear Bottom enough.
Get the technology. Works for you. Everything's built for value. Here's another thing, too. It's that time. Feel good. Feel thankful. You can feel good wearing your Bear Bottom, because for each item you purchase, a nutritious school meal is donated to a child in need. If you buy enough Bear Bottom, Bear Bottom has agreed to let White Sox Dave serve on the panel that identifies more opportunities to distribute local food in charity stuff. You're part of the charity team, Dave.
I love myself a good charity.
They're Black Friday sale has already started, and it's the biggest yet. You can get up to 25%. Holy fuck. 25% off site-wide by going to barebottomclothing.com for a limited time. Am I not reading this correctly? I got to say this. For a limited time, Bear Bottom is giving you an incredibly soft tech tee or natural dye tee for free when you spend $150. These are great tees.
Great
deal.
So if you spend $150, get a free T-shirt, Black Friday, 25% off.
And
no promo code, just go to the website.
Would be remiss to...
Very soft. Very soft.
Not end.
I don't have a...
On sorry. That. But we all wear the shit. I don't want to call it shit, but we all wear the Bear Bottom clothes. It's outstanding. Just everyday wear.
Wearing it right now.
Every single occasion, you're good to go.
This morning. That's how comfortable it is.
The T-shirts and the hoodies and the... Like, everything about Bear Bottom is awesome. Just trust us on this one.
There you
That's
go.
It. And speaking of bulking season, to add a little salt to wounds, we'll call it, I saw a tweet this morning that said the average Thanksgiving meal, standard, you eat all throughout the day, average American Thanksgiving meal, you're consuming the calories and the grams of fat equivalent to 6 Big Macs.
Saw that too.
Okay.
That I didn't need to hear that, though. I know I'm disgusting.
You already knew that.
I knew it, but I didn't need to hear it.
Yeah.
I knew it, but I didn't
need
to hear it.
Not all calories are created equal, though.
For a split second, I just saw Aurora Hollywood Casino. Everybody knows I go to the casino every Thanksgiving with my dad, and we usually burn the turkey and don't even really have Thanksgiving dinner. For a split second, I thought it was going to be closed on Thanksgiving. Thank God it's not. It's just the poker room is going to be closed at the beautiful Aurora Hollywood Casino and Barstool Sportsbook.
There you go.
Is anybody excited to watch the game on Thursday?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys.
I still like an 11:30 kick. I still like the Lions on Thanksgiving. Even if the Bears aren't playing, I'm going to watch that game. I love betting on the Lions every year if the Bears aren't in it. So now it's a little bit of a toss-up for me.
Are you guys rooting? But I'm rooting. Are you? I hope the Bears lose.
No, but that's the thing. I'm conditioned to be like, I don't care anymore because losing is good, but there's still something to it. Where, like, stuff that happens, you know, like the Steelers game wasn't upsetting.
Mm-hmm.
The Bucs game was.
Yep.
Last week was. And it's just, I don't know. Like, if they have one of those games, it's going to piss me off.
Well, it should really shouldn't
ruin
matter
your Thanksgiving?
That much.
No, Dalton I mean, starting. It's past that.
Dalton starting.
Yeah.
That doesn't degrade it to you naturally in a level.
Well, there's just nothing to, like, be positive about. Like, even if they, like, you know, like, even if they win. It's not like you can be like, oh, well, Fields had like a spectacular play or this happened or that happened. Like, everybody's hurt on defense. Fields isn't playing. It's just like I would watch that game and enjoy it regardless of who the Lions were playing. It just happens to be the Bears, so that like I'm just kind of watching it as like they might as well be playing, I don't know, like the Chargers. Like it's just like a game that I'm gonna watch because it's football on Thanksgiving, but I don't like care about the outcome at all.
What's nice too is you can officially move on because the last graphic I saw, the Bears were not on it. They were one of four teams who were not on it.
They're out.
So they're done.
Yeah, I mean, it's over.
I mean, it's
can we
done before it started.
I know you keep saying like it doesn't matter like the losing because they don't have the first, but it does kind of matter for the second and the third and the fifth.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Like, doesn't that matter?
Fair, but...
I mean, it the difference between picking 45th and picking 33rd or something.
Yeah, no, there's
or
no
I know,
doubt
that's,
about
that's
it.
Ridiculous, but...
Like, early second round, people, you know, you're getting guys who just slid out of the first, so... First round value, first round grades.
I'm reaching. Tell me I'm reaching. It's okay.
No, it's okay.
It's a reach. It's like the draft. It's the draft is a crapshoot anyways, especially when you get down. There's probably that range of players, so I don't really know if it matters if you're picking 35 or you're picking 45. It's like you have a range of guys that you like, and it's like whatever. You know, it's like you're going to be able to find a Mooney or somebody like that in the fourth round all the time if you're good at scouting and drafting. So it's just, you know, it is what it is. Like this, we're watching the hourglass sand just kind of trickle out of the season, and we already know the result. There's no stopping it, and it's just we're just waiting for the news to break that Nagy is actually gone.
The timeout situation was, I mean, it was all time.
Yeah.
It was all time on the fourth and one and then on the PAT. It was all time.
Well, yelling at the guy, too.
Yeah, all time bad. Mm-hmm. It was all time bad.
Would you have punted? They're like, hey, Tyler Huntley hasn't done shit in his life in the NFL. Just fucking give him the ball on the 5-yard line, 10-yard line.
It's all time bad. It's just all time bad. That's all there really is to it.
Mm-hmm. Do you want
seven more games?
Okay.
It sucks that the season goes into mid-January now. Like yeah. I wish like that. It should just be like you click the calendar over to 2022 and you're on to something else. The fact that they have two regular season, nothing games.
Giants and the Vikings.
Fuck.
Too, it's like, what are we gonna do?
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be a toilet bowl.
That's when I want to just pretend to care about college basketball on those Sundays, those Saturdays and Sundays, and just not have to think about the Bears at all. But now you're going to have to. You're going to be bundled up watching shitty, shitty football.
Why were you in a box?
It's a goddamn shame.
We were invited.
I'm asking. Did you go too?
No, I didn't go. I was too tired from hunting.
I was in a box.
Just curious.
I had business deals that locked out.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
He's not lying.
That's all there is to it. I had business deals that locked down, and I did it from a box.
Did you lock it down?
Getting there. Might have a little dinner at Bivette's coming up to, you know, dot I's and cross T's.
Also true. I'll see you at Bivette's. I'll be there for that one.
Yep.
Ooh. Get the Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts, they're excellent.
That was one of those things we were lied about as a kid.
What?
I love Brussels sprouts. I mean, it sounds gross. Bro, it just sounds like very vegetable-y.
But that it was like the number one vegetable where you're like vegetables are gross. People would always reference Brussels sprouts.
Yeah,
they're actually good.
I mean, I don't think our parents, when we were being force fed them to eat our veggies when we were 8 years old, were just loading them up with butter.
They're
and
probably
cheeses
just they're probably just
seasoning.
Steamed.
Yeah,
yeah.
So they probably were actually gross, but Brussels sprouts, outstanding side. For
Agreed.
Any good meal.
Yeah.
Is there a way to do Brussels sprouts for Thanksgiving that's, like, common? Because everybody has a standard, like, casseroles and shit, but I don't think I've ever heard Brussels sprouts for Thanksgiving.
It's a standard side in my family.
Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
A little bacon
we,
in
we
there.
Never,
yeah,
we've never
exactly.
done Brussels sprouts for Thanksgiving.
My mom does it the same way she would do, like, a green bean casserole. Mm. So a little cheese, a little onion, a little bacon. What are you laughing at?
So... Jason Garrett just got canned, and I just saw the Barstool Sports tweet. It's Tommy in Goodfellas walking in to get popped in the back of the head. Jason Garrett when the Giants team flight lands. It's that's, woo, that's a good one.
Jealous.
Hopefully that Matt Nagy is Tommy in Goodfellas when he goes when he thinks he's getting made after Thanksgiving game.
Mm.
Hypothetically or theoretically speaking, of course.
And you're still saying
figuratively bury him in the cornfield like
yeah, figured that's the word yeah. I was going for. Figuratively. Yeah.
There you go.
Am I still seeing red?
Yeah.
Well, according to you guys, no. I was never seeing red.
They lost by 32 last night.
At home.
What happened?
What do you mean? Alex Crusoe had the night off. Wrist contusion. The Pacers shot the lights out. We don't have an inside out presence. Our depth is thin. Everybody had to move up a couple spots. It was tough, man. Let's talk about Crusoe against fucking Julius Randle, though.
Wait, you're talking about depth?
Whoa. Whoa. Ed, Alex Caruso and Vucar out.
Sorry.
Alex Caruso and Vucar out.
Sorry. On a real note, though, I was happy to see Coby White play well Sunday.
I also like his haircut. I'll say that, too.
And
I
feel his
like
old
he's
hair?
What?
And his old hair?
Yeah, I feel like he's more aerodynamic with this. Like, this is like, hey, I'm a pro now. I'm a professional. Mm-hmm. I got to have, like, a pro haircut. I like the haircut. I think he looks good out there.
It's good that Zach's there, and him and Zach are the only holdovers from the Boylan era, because I feel like he really wouldn't have gotten a shot. Like, I feel like Zach has really helped him mesh with, you know, with these mm-hmm. new guys and mm-hmm. DeRozan and everything. So that's nice to see. It was nice to see them dump some water on his head in celebration.
Yeah.
Had that road win against the Nuggets was pretty fucking impressive.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I'd like to see it with Jokic and Vooch. That would be good.
Yeah. But
yeah, obviously.
I think so.
Yeah. But the Nuggets will probably lose maybe 10, 11 games at home this year. You know, around there, maybe. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, quality win.
Yeah.
They'll take it.
Mm-hmm. They play on Christmas this year?
No.
That's a shame.
That's my favorite NBA day of the year.
They'll play Christmas next year for sure.
That's
a lock.
Yeah, those Christmas games are like, I remember with the D Rose Bowls and then slightly thereafter when he was still lingering around and they were pulling ratings with Joe and Taj still like yeah. having those Christmas games. That was like your sign that like you're the big boy, you pull.
Yeah.
It's not like how the Cowboys, well, I guess the Cowboys and the Lions always play. Are their teams, I feel like the Lakers play every Christmas and the Knicks.
Warriors.
Warriors. It's usually like whoever the best teams are.
Yeah.
The Suns have it up this year. I feel like the Celtics play a lot on that. So this year, you want me to just do the schedule? It's a great slate. If you're
sure.
an NBA
four or
fan,
five games.
Five. Bucks. What?
Bucks Sixers.
Bucks Celtics. That's the 1:30 start. The 11 a.m., which is my favorite big cat bet of the year. Which is take the under in that 11 a.m.
It hasn't
game.
Been hitting, though.
Nope. It has.
Really?
No. I don't know if it has or not, but in my head, it hits every single year. Because like that bet just makes sense to me. Like those guys aren't going to be able to shoot. They're not going to be ready to go Christmas morning. But that's Hawks-Knicks, so a rematch of that series, which was highly entertaining the first round. Celtics-Bucks, Giannis versus, you know, probable playoff team. Warriors-Suns, so last year's Western Conference champs against one of the best teams in the West. Nets and Lakers for primetime, and then Mavs and Jazz. So that's five games, and that's just one of those things where it's like that is on your TV all day long on Christmas Day. So you're,
Mavs and Jazz to finish is ugly betting.
If you're chasing. Responsibly.
Yeah. That's just not, I don't want to hear that. Give me like I want Clippers, Lakers.
I'm usually
late night.
I'm usually pretty stuffed. I kind of, you know, and it's like a food coma thing. So that game is just like white noise as I fall asleep on the mm-hmm. couch. So I don't really.
Who's our late night NCAA game? And don't we have an egg bowl this year, I believe?
There is an egg bowl.
Yeah.
That's one of those things I hope we get back next year. Is that you always used to get Thanksgiving weekend was A&M against Texas, and that was one of my favorite games. And I, you know, with them moving to the SEC, I think that should be back on the schedule. I would hope.
Hopefully, yeah. Both teams are worth a shit though, because you don't want to watch Texas in any way, shape, or form this year.
No, they're in the automatic bet against category. Yeah,
yeah. I took them last week, just thinking like, oh, like they lost to Kansas, they'll bounce back. Nope. But do you agree with me, though, how big I think they got to keep building Kobe's confidence?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not an automatic trade piece where I think some people were at a couple.
Yeah, I disagree with that wholly. Like, they need a shooter. Like,
mm-hmm.
If they get tied up, they're going to need to kick it out to someone.
Yeah, he can also give, he can give those guys a completely different look as the second team. Where you can give a couple of these backups, whether it's fucking Brown or it's Green or it's mm-hmm. Io. and have like a push pace kind of go out there and maybe run somebody in the ground for a couple minutes and have Kobe lead the way on that.
I was really hoping a little bit that they would stick with him in the end, in the last 3 minutes, instead of Caruso, just to, you know, give him an opportunity against the Knicks, but they didn't. I mean, whatever, you got to pick up wins. I don't know, maybe that's more important, but I mean, it sucks the Pacers game wasn't closer. He could have had an opportunity there, but Pacers shot well.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I was flipping around with that game, every time I tuned over to the Bulls, it was like Sabonis was doing something awesome.
Yeah.
Like he's just a guy who like sweeps up rebounds, putbacks. He's a really good player.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Caruso and Vooch are officially questionable for tomorrow night.
Okay. Yep. You know what was nice, though? You know what I did enjoy? It was fun to be able to flip back and forth from the Hawks and the Bulls.
Yeah, you said you were doing that.
Yep, Wednesday night, Blazers, Kraken, Sunday night, Knicks, mm-hmm. Vancouver.
Yep.
They were both – they had a penalty with 2:20 left,
was it?
Yeah. And then the Bulls were at like two – it was. I didn't know what to do.
Yeah,
it was,
it's tough. It's one of those two
TVs. You could shame me for having one TV.
Yeah. I just got my second TV about half an hour ago.
Yeah, I have my other two TVs set up outside. Yeah. It's too cold.
In the garage?
Yes, the garage, correct. It's too cold, so it's nice to be able to flip back and forth, though.
Yeah, they're playing meaningful games because they have to keep winning. Otherwise, trade everyone, cancel the season, all that. So they looked like absolute dog shit for the majority or for the first two periods against Vancouver and Flurry. And Vancouver is a mess. Like, they have a lot of really good players, but they're a mess. Like, they're talking about firing their GM, like firing their coach. Like, they're maybe almost in a worse position than the Hawks, because the Hawks have made those changes. So when they absolutely laid an egg on the road in Vancouver, it's like, what the fuck, the first two periods. And then they got, you know, Brandon Hagel did his thing, where he's like, if you're like a casual hockey fan, you should be falling in love with Brandon Hagel. Just works his fucking bag off. You know, not really a highly regarded prospect at any point in his life. A little bit undersized, skinny, but just tough as nails, fast, works hard. And I saw a scout, I can't remember where I read this, but he's like, yeah, if Brandon Hagel's like work rate ever drops, like, he becomes a very average NHL player, which is true. But his work rate never drops. He just works fucking hard. So he went to the net, got the tip-in goal. They go up 1-0, and then it was like watching a different team. Like, they locked it down defensively. I think they only gave up like two or three shots on goal in the whole entire third period, even though they were shorthanded late. They played great. And you know, it sucks that they lost Stillman in that game. Gustafson, like, I don't know if you saw that,
he injured him.
He was having a little battle in the corner, and he was retaliating against a guy, and he hit a player in Vancouver, Tyler Mott, former Blackhawk great, right into Stillman's like back of his leg, like rolled up on him. So I think Stillman's gonna be out for a little bit, but that was an encouraging third period, and it's a monster game tonight. So the Blackhawks are in Calgary. Calgary's in first place in their division. They've been lights out. I like the Hawks tonight. Similar to the Bulls when they came home off that road trip, and then
the Knicks. They fucking buried the Knicks.
Never mind. Take that out. I forgot the Knicks game was at home. But in hockey, a lot of times if you have – Calgary's been on the road for 7 games. This is their first game back, and it's before a vacation. Everybody just kind of lets their guard down. So I could see a situation where the Hawks are like, hey, these guys are ripe. Calgary's a little bit sluggish. They're sleeping in their own bed. They're talking to their wife. They're talking to their girlfriend. They're going out with their buddies after being gone for 3 weeks. Hawks have one game before the trip. They know how big it is. I love the Hawks tonight. I've already bet on the Hawks tonight. We also have a boost in the Barstool Sportsbook. Taves to score. He hasn't scored a goal all year. Has not, like, Jonathan Taves,
crazy.
0 goals. He's playing well, even though he's not scoring. That has to just end at some point. I think that's tonight. So Taves to score plus a Hawks money line win, that's boosted, plus +950.
Oh, okay. I was going to say puck and a half minus, plus +450.
On that too.
You're on that
so
too.
I have the wow. I'm doing the boost, and I'm doing the Hawks minus 1.5 is plus +440, I think, is what I saw at last, but maybe it moved. But, yeah, I think this is a night where it's like you can feel pretty good about the Hawks pulling an upset. Calgary's better than them, but it's like this is if they're ever going to beat Calgary.
Ships are falling.
In Calgary, this would be tonight. I think they're ripe. So we'll see how it goes. And if they win, go for a break. And then, you know, they're 7-10. And all of a sudden, they're 7-10-2. They would have won 6 out of 7. Edmonton's better than them. They got smoked by Edmonton. Like, what are you going to do? But then, you know, we talked about the Bears no longer in their graphic. The Hawks would be in the graphic. They're you know, 2, 3, 4 points away from that second wild card spot. So Fleury's playing unbelievable. Yeah. He got that new mask. And, like, ever since he put that mask on, like, he can't let a puck in.
That's all he needed.
Spectacular.
8 p.m. puck drop. Get your bets in.
Yeah. So check that out. I mean, I genuinely do. Like, I'm on it. I'm genuinely into the Hawks tonight.
Can I ask you a dumb hockey question?
Always. I love those questions.
So the Hagel redirect.
Yeah.
Why is that a thing?
What do you mean?
Redirects. Like, why, like it feels like, logically speaking, listen, I know, though. Like, I understand it clearly works and it's clearly a large part of the game. But it seems like something to it is like, what if you block your own fucking shot?
So those pucks are – that puck was probably going 85 miles an hour, point shot.
Like such a
– So it's hard – it's almost harder to just stop it in midair and have it drop than it is to just get a little nick of it and change the direction.
Yeah.
So that's all you're really trying to do. You're trying to be in front of the net, take the goalie's eyes away. So, like, you know, you're screening him so he doesn't have a great look at it. And if you – like, if I'm throwing a ping pong ball at you, okay, or a tennis ball, you'll catch it all day long. Dave gets a finger on it right before you're about to catch it, and you just got to adjust real quick.
Yeah.
And
it's all more difficult.
Yeah, it's very difficult to do. It's almost like catching a foul tip in baseball.
Exactly.
Like,
that's the exact analogy.
For a catcher, it's like very, very difficult.
Felt like a good dumb question, though.
Fair question. I love dumb questions. Grow the game.
But you know what I mean? I like, has there ever been many cases where it just blocked it, though?
Like, I'm
sure.
Or,
like, can it, like, skip above the net?
All the time.
Yeah.
It's still like, it still increases
still a better
the light.
Percentage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because if it's just like a straight, like, especially a shot from the blue line, if the goalie can see it, every single goal, I don't care if it's going 105 miles an hour, if you take a shot from the goal, from the blue line, and the goalie can track it the whole way, every single NHL goalie should stop every single one of those pucks. And so if you should be going to the net, trying to make it so he's looking around you so he doesn't have eyes on it. And then if you can get that puck to change directions, slow, you know, even if, you know, it causes a rebound and he's sliding one way and it's going the other way, like, you want to create chaos in front of the net as much as possible. It's something the Hawks need to, quite frankly, do a better job of is having, they always call it, you know, net front presence. Mm-hmm. Hagel goes to the net and he gets rewarded with goals. And they need more of that from, I think I'd love to see Doc Camp out there a little bit more. You know, Kubalik's become basically a perimeter player. They need more guys going to the net, creating chaos, and getting those, they call them garbage goals. Like, how hungry are you? Just go to the front of the net, clean up the garbage, put it in, let's get on the board. And when they do that, and they're a team that doesn't have, like, a ton of skill throughout their entire lineup, so they need ugly goals, and they need to do a better job of getting to the net for just those types of plays.
Okay.
So it's a good question, actually.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. White Sox Dave looked at me like it was a dumb question. He's above dumb questions, I guess.
Well, I mean, Ed, it's very self-explanatory. You don't have to have any hockey acumen whatsoever to understand why.
Yeah, but maybe some people don't know.
I mean,
But, like, if I told you that, if I explained it with, the point shot, where every single goalie should stop every single shot coming from there with no net front presence or tips or screens.
Say that again?
What about Wayne Gretzky?
What about him?
Same thing.
I don't know what you're talking about, but If you have a guy shooting 105 miles per hour from the blue line, so 80 feet, right?
Yeah.
Every single goalie in the NHL will stop 99.999%
yes.
of those. So, like, that's why you're trying to – because he's like, doesn't it lower your odds, or can't you kick over? And
I'm on your side.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah. So,
like,
that's
I think
all I
if
saying.
You shot a puck 105 miles an hour at me from 80 feet away – and there's obviously there's it's just me, it's one on one, and I'm playing goalie, I think I would stop most of them.
I don't think so.
I mean, I do. It's
well, you're
80 feet is so fucking far.
If you can't move your feet well enough to, like, I don't think you appreciate how hard it is for those goalies to stop, because I don't think I could do it on skates. If you put you on skates and goalies shooting at you 105 or someone's shooting at you from 105 miles an hour.
I mean, I'm thinking of it. I was 3 months ago facing near 100 from 55 feet.
and I was making contact. Greg, obviously two different sports, but I know what 100 miles an hour looks like.
Oh, I'm not doubting that. I think if you add the element of ice to it and equipment that you're not used to.
Sure.
But if you put, yeah, I think if you're White Sox, but Dave, the point is here and you have your
feet. But if someone's in there and they're redirecting it, no one really stands a chance.
Yeah, it makes
nobody has those kind of reflex. You'd have to
some
basically
guys do.
Get
like
lucky.
If you watch Fleury, he like makes an ungodly
Now, here's a question going off of that. Can goalies kind of read redirects, like anticipate them? Like, okay, he's sitting there. I can see where he's moving his stick. If he gets
you can't cheat.
You can't cheat on
it? Yeah, because it's like it's still actually hard to get a stick on those. Yeah. It's not like you're standing in the batter's box trying to lay a bunt down either. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you're battling with a defenseman. Like, he's trying to lift your stick or keep your stick down. And, like, so if a goalie, like, to anticipate a deflection is like nearly impossible, because if you are cheating and it doesn't get tipped, then it's just going wired to the back of the net. Like, you have to like have like shot integrity and like have your fundamentals about you. But like the reason that you position yourself that way, I almost wish Scott was here to explain it, because he could do a better job of it than me, where you want to be square, you want to be low. I don't know. You made a couple million bucks playing goalie in the NHL. Like you want it, like then that's why you want to go down, because you want to take away the lower half in the net, because you can reach up and you want to take away as much of the net as possible without having to move that much.
Now, goalies, I'm assuming they also work ground up.
That's they call it the butterfly in hockey, like where you kind of you go down. You have to time, you know, when you do that, because goalies do get caught cheating on that if they go down too early, and it's just like a regular shot upstairs. Like everybody's too good, so you do have to time it, and that's why you're seeing this trend of goalies just getting bigger and bigger. Like Vasilevsky's 6'6".
I mean, Scott's huge.
Scott's 6'6". Like, yeah. So you got to take away a lot of the net.
Why don't they just put a sumo wrestler in there?
Like that one commercial where they have a literal walrus in net.
Yeah,
yeah. I think it's a Geico commercial. Yeah, I mean, you still have to be able to move side to side and things like that.
Just get someone bigger than the net.
I just don't think that's plausible, because I also think that if that goal, like, he still has to wear skates.
Does he have to?
Yes, you have to. Like, there is regulated equipment.
Just have him sit there like crisscross applesauce, like Ed says.
I love the who is that kid? I'm blanking on his name, who watched hockey for the first time, and he was a Blues fan.
Oh, the St. Louis kid.
Solar City or something.
Yeah.
And he's like,
so funny.
He's like, this is my first time. He's like, I don't get it. Why don't they just put everybody in front of the net? Which kind of makes sense to me.
Like, yeah, but like, I do
that was,
think it
that like it, got caught by Black Twitter, right?
Yeah, it was very funny.
I remember
that was during the Blues Blackhawks 2016 playoff series. And, he was like, who is this Patrick Kane? Like, how do we stop this guy?
I don't get it. Why don't they put all five guys in front of the net?
Like, well, and it's like, you do kind of see that in like desperation times where guys are sliding around. Like, they call it like you have the house, right? Like, and it's from the dots across, and then you almost like a home plate to the front of the net.
Uh-huh.
And like, you're protecting the house, and it's like a shape of a home plate. From the goal, from the net out and then across.
Yeah.
If you can visualize that. And like, that is like, you're protecting the house. You don't want anything going on in there. And when it's real desperate times, you're killing a penalty, late game situations, you'll see that they'll see guys that come in real tight trying to be able to block, as a lot of Cal Dahan type plays where you're just blocking shots and eating pucks and hoping to let it hits you so you can clear it out. So, like, that happened. That does actually happen, but, like, it's just not – it's untenable to do the entire game.
Yeah.
You do it, like, 20 seconds at a time.
Not a half circle. It's a house instead.
Yeah, it's a house, yeah.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay. Poultry. From Hooters to Thanksgiving birds to ducks. To duck hunting, there's a lot of people that have tuned into this podcast today hoping to get a firsthand account of what it's like to go hunting with Chief and what it's like to go hunting with White Sox Dave. We have those two with us today in studio. Special edition Redline Radio.
I'll start, or do you want to start?
Go ahead.
So we, I don't even want to say since Sidney Wells got hired by Barstool, but Ryan and I have had a conversation, you know, a handful of times over the year. Could you go hunting and kill an animal? And I always said no.
Yep.
I'm like, I couldn't kill a deer. Like, it's a fucking beautiful animal. I don't know if this is true, but I feel like mammals have feelings, and that's kind of where I draw the line at killing something.
Those little dull eyes.
Like, they have their family animals, like mammals in general, family.
All right, can I stop you there? Because I learned a fact from going down there this weekend about the rut, where so the rut is like mating season.
Yes.
Okay. Apparently, the rut, the male deers just rape all the females.
That's exactly what they do.
So
they're savages.
Yeah. So when I was like saying like to talking to Sydney and her dad, they're like, oh yeah, like, well, the does are really more afraid of the males than they are of you. I'm like, they're hiding from the males. I'm like, what are you talking about? They're like, it's the rut. I'm like, I still don't get it. And they're like, you don't understand. Like, the way that deers mate is like a violent, violent thing. And it's like, what? Like, so that honestly, like, made me like, fuck these guys. Like, I'll take down a buck. They're savages.
We're on the way down there.
Swells like that, you know they're in a rut. And they got big ass necks.
How did you know that?
He went to Southern.
Bro, I went to Southern. Oh,
yeah,
Ross.
Yeah.
I'm
so
not fucking
around.
Around
it, yeah.
I had a lot of buddies who were into this shit.
Eddie remembers everything he's ever heard, which is actually true. So, like, if you had a buddy from Southern who was talking about the rut one time, he didn't think you were listening. Eddie was fucking listening, yeah. Guys.
I mean, we used to drive through, you know, like, there's wooded area, wood where you're driving through, you know, and you'd see it, and he would just constantly, oh, look at that fucking neck on that, you know, and it was just something.
Yeah, you're driving home probably this time of year.
Yes, exactly. Look at the fucking neck on that. Yeah. So.
Well, that was the other thing. They said that we were driving out to this one piece of property, and the dad, like, stops over. I don't think you were in the car with us at this point, but he's like, look at this telephone pole. He's like, the power or is it electric? I can't remember what kind.
It was like a big
telephone pole, and you could see, like, the bottom of the telephone pole had been, like, shaved down. And he's like, do you know what that is? I'm like, no. And he's like, that is basically the male deer will take their antlers and, like, scrape them up against telephone poles, like those wooden ones, and, like, take them almost to the point where it looks like they're going to tip over. And I'm like, what are they doing that? Sharpening their antlers? And he's like, no, like, they're strengthening their neck muscles, getting ready to duel because, you know, the males, like, fight each other all the time for females. And it's like, so they actually, like, the deer will train. Like, they're like, training, getting ready for the rut because they're going to have to, like, battle the other males for the right to rape the other females. Deer are fucking savages.
Yeah, if you don't want to run into, like, a male during that season.
Dude, Ed, I'm not kidding. So we'll get there in a second. So on the way down there, it's about 4 hours south of here. It's a little, I don't know, I think it was like 30 miles west of Peoria to give people a visualization of where we were. I didn't have any cell phone service, nothing. So it was like the entire week or so leading up to it, I'm like, I don't think I could pull the trigger. And Sydney and her dad's like mega famous in the hunting world. Sydney's like, you don't have to shoot anything you don't want to shoot. Like, we'll take care of all that. Like, we're going to make you guys super comfortable as first-time hunters. But, like, Ryan and I talked about it. Chief and I talked about it where – on the way, it kind of flipped a little bit where you kind of got a little more nervous to pull a trigger, and I was, like, starting to get a little bloodthirsty. So we get there on Thursday night, and we got there late, like 9 p.m. So we're waking up early to, like, do all the, you know, video shit in the morning. Then we're going to hunt in the afternoon. So we split up in two separate camps. I'm with her brother, who's 22, played baseball at ISU.
Great guy.
Great kid. And Chief is with Sydney and her dad, right? You were with him, too?
He was hunting near us, but he dropped us off to a different tree
stand. So we were in different camps, so we were all spread out miles apart from each other. And so first day that we're hunting, it's the afternoon on Friday, they had built a blind on the ground level with corn stalks. So you're hiding, like, in the corn. And as soon as we fucking sat down, about – I would say 70 yards out or so across this, like, little field that's surrounded by a tree line. We're, like, putting the camera. We're mounting the camera. We're getting the, like, gun holder things up and everything. I look up, and there's a fucking buck staring right at us, and he spotted us. He saw us there, and we were being as ginger and walking like ninjas and being as quiet as possible. And that buck, he looked at us, and he basically said without saying it, he's like, fuck you guys, I'm out of here. Because he, like, and you could hear him, like, fucking growling and shit, like way off in the distance.
Yep.
And, like, I made eye contact with him for maybe a quarter of a second, and he was just like, fuck you guys.
Mm-hmm.
It was wild. So, like, as soon as I saw that, and that was immediately when we got there, we were there for, like, 3.5-4 hours. Didn't see anything, but you could, since you're in the wilderness, like Ryan Hartman said to Chief on Twitter, your eyes and ears are just firing on all cylinders. You hear all sorts of shit. You're being as quiet and as still as can be, and you'll hear like a squirrel, like, I don't know, you know, close enough to hear it, and it'll just be snapping twigs and shit, and you're like, is that a deer? So grab your gun, and you're like, if that deer pops out, I'm going to blow its head off. And so the first night we didn't see another deer until it was almost dark, and there's hunting hours. It's 30 minutes after the, like, Weather Service's official sunset time. So the exact minute that you have to stop pulling the trigger for safety reasons is 30 minutes after sunset. So it was 5:09, and Sydney's dad texted her son Clint, hey, you got two does in the field out there. So we had literally like 3 minutes to pull a trigger, otherwise it'd be illegal to keep hunting until sunlight the next day. And we see the two does. They're like 100, maybe a little more, out from us, and we literally started chasing after them. They got away, obviously. But we're, like, sprinting through the field with fucking loaded guns trying to kill these deers because we had no other choice. But, I cannot wait to go back.
Yeah. So, and that's how I felt, too. So I was very nervous, like, once we actually got into the tree on night one. And we barely saw anything. We saw a buck chasing a doe, but, like, way out of range and, like, only for a second. And that was kind of similar thing, like, towards the end of the allotted period. When I woke up, I was like,
let's do it.
Ready to go.
Yeah.
And like, we got into the tree stand the next day. I think we, you know, woke up at 4:40, coffee at 4:50, in the stand by 5:15, something like that. And still dark, like, still like very
pitch black.
Pitch black.
Yeah.
And so you're in the stand, you're just, you know, it's quiet, it's like this. And I hear like steps coming. I was like, oh fuck, here we go. And it was coming because they have like these deer paths, you know, mm-hmm. So they walk like the same trails like over and over. And she said like they'll probably come this way, and something was coming this way. And I don't think it would have been legal to shoot at that exact time, now that I think of it, but I like was getting ready, and it was raccoon. so it was just like, I never saw a goddamn thing. And but it was still awesome. And it was like, it's weird to be like so focused, and you're like looking at nothing, but like every little thing could be something. So you're,
and you
like
don't hear
hyper,
any
hyper
unnatural
focused.
So like no cars,
yeah,
you don't hear anything like that.
And you guys did no bows?
We shot bows.
We, like, didn't go bow hunting.
Yeah, but I think I'm still not like super comfortable with the gun. Like, especially like Dave, you say you don't even remember this, but we were practicing. We were on video shooting clay pigeons, which I stink at. But there was one point Dave dropped something and walked like almost in front of my gun that was loaded there, and like I, like, got very startled. And Clint and Sydney were like, "All right, well, like, it's good that we like learned this lesson now. Like, you have to be, you know, gun safety, blah blah blah." But it's just, it doesn't. I'm not like, I, and they did.
Wait, what
say,
do you mean something moves in front of you?
Dave, he drops. Dave drops something.
I don't remember this interaction. Yeah.
Dave drops something. And start, because we're all like spaced out maybe like five yards apart at this point. And Dave like started moving over towards like my line of sight.
They say to like keep your gun focused between 11 and 2.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you don't like wave it around. You just.
So Dave
keep
was
straight.
Dave was inching towards 11. And they're like, whoa, stop. And so like that just like that made me nervous. The idea of like blowing off Dave's arm.
Yeah, like, it's a weird
Can you
feeling.
Imagine me not having a right arm, Ed? This thing's a moneymaker for me.
Right. But the next day.
Wouldn't hate it.
Yeah. I mean, just you never have to throw slower than 91 ever again. You just walk off.
Nah, dude,
top.
It's a weird thing when you, like, the first time I did it, I was like, holy fuck, like.
Yeah.
This is a killing machine.
If you just turned over, like, you could fucking shoot someone.
Right.
Yeah. And I know that sounds very stupid and, like, of course, duh.
Right.
But I don't know. Something really struck me when I realized.
But there was also, like.
You know, it was weird.
Yeah, it's like standing on a ledge or something. You're like, dude, you could just jump off this ledge and fall forever. Like, I think that the decision or how readily available that decision is can, like, freak people out. Yeah.
Yes, it did.
And Sydney's dad gave us, like, this big speech at breakfast the first day, being like, look at that. You have to be so careful. Like, that gun will go off when it feels like going off. So, you know, like it can just accidentally, you know, you bump something, you hit something, safety on, doesn't matter. Like, you just have to pretend as if, like, the safety is always off and it's always loaded and the trigger's always, a slick trigger. And, like, so you just have to be that careful, which is why I think I'm going to try bow hunting next time. I felt, like, more comfortable in my hands. And that was decent with it. Like, I think I'm going to practice that and try to do that.
And I think bow, obviously, is known. It's like that's more challenging. And it's then the more, season's longer.
For sure. Yeah.
Bow hunting is more
of
a thing, from what I understand. I'm not an expert.
More in tune with nature.
Well, and like they said, like they have a gun season. And the gun seasons are very short. Yeah. So.
I love the people making the Dick Cheney jokes at White Sox Day.
Yeah, I mean, that was to be expected.
Did you? What about the Photoshop jokes? Yeah, that one.
We'll get to the Photoshop jokes in a minute. But
wait, so before.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
And on that note, if I...
You should have been focused with that fucking iPhone in your hands.
I could have.
Should we go visit before our next trip?
I think we might have to.
Yeah.
I think we might have to because day two.
This gun's awesome. I never knew how much I liked this gun.
Day two,
mm-hmm.
I'm in a tree stand. About 30 feet up, you know, just chilling on a tree. 30 minutes into the morning hunt. It's, you know. It's
daybreak.
It's
I think it was a little longer than that, actually.
It might have been about an hour, but it started getting light out.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw one deer. And the deer was to my right about 25, 30 yards. And it was a fucking baby deer. It was a doe. And he goes, if you get a shot on that thing, kill it. I'm like, that thing's like small. That's like the size of my fucking dog. It was small. And he's like, all right, well, I mean, there's no limit on doe. It's three doe to every buck out there. So doe, they just like kill them, like get them. So you could hear that fucking little doe, I'm guessing 60 pounds maybe, had deer with it. But they didn't come onto the fucking path that I had a shot at. And then the deer like scampered off into the woods. So I didn't get a shot at it. 20 minutes later, 30 minutes later, whatever time it was, I'm sitting there. I'm not getting bored, but I'm like, all right, deer, come on, let's go. Let's do this thing. Let's
walk
let's
into tango. My killing path. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I look to my left where we had walked up from, and I see a fucking monster doe. And so I give the nudge. And then I guess when you're hunting, they're like, if you think you're moving slow when you're hunting, like move slower because you're moving too fast. So I grabbed the gun. I had it loaded already, and I, like, inch it up to my face. And I'm holding it there for a solid 5 minutes. And it's at my 9 o'clock, and I had armrests on my tree stand, so I couldn't really crank my whole body, and I couldn't stand up to shoot it because I would have made too much noise and would have ran off. So there's a bunch of branches and shit because if it would have been right in front of me, like between 11 and 2 o'clock, I would have had a wide-open shot. I had about – this big of a window for the deer to walk in that there was no branches.
It's a podcast, though. So how big of the window? You said this big.
Oh, like 5-6 inches. Like the size of a plate, like a dinner plate.
Yep.
You know, not too big. And she walked in front of it. I have her lined up. And because Chief stunk at fucking clay pigeon shooting, he had the gun with the scope. I'm just using iron sights.
Not true.
That is true.
That's not why you had that gun.
I thought that's what Sydney said.
No,
Sydney's
the
like
rifles. We weren't shooting the shotguns. Like I was good with both rifles.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah,
I didn't have a gun with a scope on it, mm-hmm. and I have her lined up, and I'm like, my heart is fucking, it's beating pretty hard, and pulled the trigger. Nothing. About 5 seconds go by, and I'm like, she was like, there's no way I didn't hit her. There's no way I didn't hit her. She's like. Out on her feet like a boxer who just took a haymaker. She's about to drop. She flinched when she heard the noise and just continued on grazing. So I'm like, give me another slug. Give me another slug. He forgot the slugs in the fucking car. Whoops. We go to, so I'm like, give me that fucking bow. Give me that fucking bow. So he hands me the bow, but there was just absolutely no way I could have got an arrow. And it turns out, anyways, I stunk at bow shooting anyways.
And yeah, we hadn't even practiced with a bow at that point.
Hadn't even practiced.
You were like, just, I had bloodlust.
I had bloodlust.
Give me another tool to murder this thing.
So we get out of the tree stand and the deer takes off and I blew my shot at. I'm not kidding when I say this, and this is like not part of the bloodlust storyline. I'm legit still pissed about it that I missed the deer.
Yeah.
I'm legit. Sure it was like, small? It was the first thing I –
this was a big one.
He said only 120. There is no fucking chance that thing weighed less than I do, and I'm a little over 200 pounds. I'm like 210 pounds.
I think he'd know.
But this doe was huge. It was fucking huge. And granted, they don't have, like, meat on their legs. It's just, like, skin and bone. It's all their meat is in their, like, torso body. That doe is fucking huge. So she got the better of me. I will be back, though. 2 weeks
they're
ago.
They're fucking great at hiding.
They're
unbelievable.
They're super
at
smart. Their fucking ears are unbelievable.
I mean, you're they telling me everything. You two. It's so funny.
Well, they said they have this big property. I'm like, how many deer do you think are on your property? And they go, oh, geez, I don't know, hundreds. Well, for me to be out in the stand for hours and hours over 2 days and see two deer that were way far away, I think they're pretty fucking good at hiding. If there's hundreds in that area and I saw two while they're in the rut, like chasing each other, trying to fuck, that is like they're like professional, unbelievable hiders. I don't know how anybody gets a deer.
But I can't wait to go again.
Would you guys say you're hunters now?
I'm going to be.
I've participated in hunting. I've hunted, but I don't think I can say.
I'm closer to owning a ranch. So, or are you guys being ranch hands together?
Well, our good friend Scott Darling is.
That's true.
Looking at a place in
Montana
right now.
Well, that's the other thing. So,
yes.
So the reception without of as much as more than a few little social clip teasers being put out has been awesome.
Yep.
And I got DMs from people in like Texas and Missouri and Arkansas, and they're pictures of like, hey, you guys are welcome to come hunt down here anytime you want. Just these unbelievable properties.
My cousin who lives in New Hampshire, I didn't even know he hunted. He's actually like my mom's cousin. He's like a second cousin. He has not stopped texting me when he comes.
He's excited.
He wants like another hunting buddy. He's sending me pictures of like while we were out, he was hunting wild boar, which they have up in New Hampshire apparently. He's sending me this morning, sending me shots of like the big bucks he got in his property. So I think, and he's got like his place out there.
It looked unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
His place is on a lake. He's got like I can't remember exactly how many acres he has, but he said he has 15 tree stands on his property. And then in the winter, he builds, like, this immaculate outdoor hockey rink. Place is spectacular.
It looked unbelievable,
so,
yeah.
Let's go in January.
So that's I would absolutely do that for content or otherwise. Yep. Like, the thrill of hunting was nothing like I've ever experienced before, and I didn't even kill anything.
It reminded me.
I can't wait to go again. I had so much fun.
Yeah, same. And I would say that the only, like, thing that I could compare it to is if you're like skiing alone in like a beautiful place. So where it's like you have the adrenaline rush from going fast, but you're like in nature and it's quiet and, you know, and like just gorgeous landscape. It reminded me like that contrast of like the adrenaline with like the peace and calm was like that, but they're also at the same time like very different. So I'm excited to get back out there too.
Is there like a nickname for a skier?
Like ski, like snow ski.
You know what I mean? Like a hunt. Like this guy's a hunter. Like you're just a skier.
I think there probably is some slang. I'm not like a. I'm not ski.
Oh,
head,
so like a fucking
like
someone
who's like yeah. Like I worked with a guy who had a winter pass in Colorado. And he lived in Chicago.
A real powder junkie, huh?
Yeah, it was crazy to me. But like he got like he's like oh like if you go like X many times.
Oh yeah. Well, like those passes that when you buy the season pass, like they're about the same as a day pass.
Yeah.
So you just ski like unlimited. Like it's almost worth it even if you're going to go once or twice, just to buy the season pass because it's like that good of a deal and you can usually ski like anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So
I've never gone. I don't even really care to. I'd do it.
I think you'd like it. Actually,
I'm sure I would. Yeah. But
what about ski shooting? Or you guys?
I'm Chris Kyle. I'm Chris Kyle.
I hate to say when Dave's good at things, he's like the best clay pigeon shooter of all time.
That shit's so hard. Have you ever done it?
I am. I think it was about 15 to 20, and he's like, he said it was better than that.
I think like once you got going, so if you throw out like the first five or six when you're like learning how to like handle the gun and do it and shoot it, after that point, I think you hit like 90%.
Dave has always been able to lead a receiver comfortably, so.
I just kind of it just clicked immediately for me, and I just knew how to do it.
You were like
I didn't miss.
They were sitting.
And that's what it's so ironic about me fucking whipping on. It wasn't even a moving deer; it's just sitting there eating grass.
Well, it's also the rifle versus the 12 gauge too.
Well, no, we were using 20 gauges both times.
Dave has a good body to absorb the kickback.
So we were using a 20 gauge the first
fucking
time.
Low center 1,000%
positive on this. And we were using buckshot with that. And then for the hunting, we were using – because you don't want to – we were using slugs, which are like giant bullets for the actual hunting, which you don't shoot trap with.
Right.
So you want to it to spray a little bit.
Right.
The slugs don't do that.
We're saying the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Like it should be – because of the spray, your accuracy matters less.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So on that note, I have been introduced to hunting Twitter. It's as bad as any Twitter out there.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Like, oh, you don't shoot bows? Yeah.
Like, barbecue Twitter? Yeah. Like, if you cook a fucking brisket, it's like, oh, there's no fucking smoke ring. What the fuck is that shit? You don't know what the fuck you're doing. Hunting Twitter's just as bad. It's like, what the – first of all, it's very, very, very clear that Chief and I have never fucking hunted anything in our lives. And that was kind of like
– that was the point.
Angle and point we were trying to, you know, push. And – they're like, you. There's no, like, I was using a 20 gauge with slugs to hunt. I don't, like, apparently that's not an easy gun to hunt with, but at the same time, like, it's
they said
very,
too.
Very common to use when hunting. So people are like, oh, you don't even, you don't shoot does, or if you only shoot does, you're a pussy. Like, you got to go for the bucks only, and you got to use a bow. Like, if you have a rifle, you're an idiot. Like, it's just, a bunch of people like critiquing it. First of all, we're with Tim Wells, who is wildly famous in the hunting world. Like, wildly famous. One of the most well-known hunters on the planet. I'm pretty sure he was equipping us with appropriate weapons to kill animals with. So shut the fuck up. But it was just annoying to me. Like, that's why I was commenting in the comment section today. Because I'm just sick of all these hunting experts, like, coaching me. It's like, dude, I had a better coach than what you could coach me in. So shut up.
Mm-hmm. And that, I feel like it was, it's just so annoying because it's like all like the niche things. So like, wouldn't you want, like, because hockey is like that. Hockey Twitter is the worst too. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why when people say, like, Ed, can I ask a dumb question? I'd never jump down anybody's throat because I don't want to just like turn off new people trying to learn things.
Like, oh, you idiot.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, I don't understand why barbecue Twitter, like you said, barbecue, hunting Twitter, all like the niche Twitter categories. They're like, I want more people involved, but as soon as like a new person gets involved, they shit down their throat for like the smallest thing.
Exactly.
Like, what the fuck is your problem?
So, it was a ton of fun. I can't wait to go again. I do want to shout out Jack, the Patterdale Terrier.
Awesome dog.
He's a little sausage link of a dog. And the Wells family, they were great.
Yep.
Yeah, you're saying that though. Would you have shot the doe that was the size of a dog? You were going to?
He told me to, so I would have. Yeah.
So,
but like, if it was just me up there, which it obviously wouldn't have been because that would have been illegal, I would have let that one walk. But he's like, yeah, shoot that.
Do you think you'd kill a dog?
A dog?
Yeah.
What's wrong with
you? I'm just wondering.
Would you kill a coyote?
He said he was worried about having feelings in mammals. I think it's a slippery slope for my guy Dave.
I do think
dog lover Dave. I think he might be killing dogs soon.
I will still say that I think it would. Even though I would do
he
it,
he would have done this to me.
Watching it die, I think would still be hard. Like I'm gonna do it, but I'm like prepared to be like, oh fuck, like a little bit of
definitely,
guilt about
definitely.
Well, glad you guys had a good trip. The drive time, what, 3.5 hours?
About four. Yeah, I think 3.5 there, 4 back because of traffic. But yeah,
nice.
Yeah, two weeks from now, hopefully we bag one. It'll be a good video if you do. Really good video. That's only bad thing about this is you're at the mercy of
the deer,
nature. Yeah. So, but I loved it. I can't wait. I already told Chief today. I'm like, that's gonna be my gift to myself right after the New Year's. I'm gonna get a gun and get all officially licensed and everything, so I can do it the right way. And I like, if anybody's listening in like Texas, you want to go hunt like fucking gazelles in Africa, I'm in.
I hope so. It's tough though, man. It's tough living in Chicago being committed to hunting.
Yeah, it's tough. but it is like only like a little bit of a road trip.
Yeah, know, it's like, not bad at all, yeah. But it's just like, you know, you only get
it's an expensive hobby too.
Yeah, that too, yeah.
But now we have like a free place to stay anytime we want.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, so you guys are going to have access to like some good stuff too.
Yeah.
We I mean, shout out Mossy Oak. We got
hooked up.
Hooked the fuck up.
That's nice.
But with like jackets, hoodies, pants, everything you need, and I wasn't cold at all out there.
Yeah, their stuff was great. I wore the jacket just today walking the dogs. I missed the rush of like getting ready to go hunt.
I think I'm going to go to the Bears game on December 23rd, so I anticipate it being like 0 degrees out. I'll wear all that shit.
Yeah.
To the tailgate. Yep. But yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed being out there in nature. Like, that's the first time I've ever done anything like it. So
if I'm going to pick an expensive hobby for the rest of my life, hunting or golf, I think I'm leaning hunting.
I would go hunting a million times over. Yeah. Golf's fine, but it's like,
yeah. Yeah. But I don't hate golf. I played probably 8-10 times, probably something like that this summer, which was, you know, a good amount for me. And I think I enjoy the hunting more.
That's good. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, but until then, I guess just wrap up Wishfest coming up in 10 days.
Yep.
Wishfest, a lot of the White Sox fans who are listening to this, I'm sure you are well aware what Wishfest is. Big event on the south side of Bourbon Street and Marionette Park. Unbelievable cancer charity concert. 100% of all ticket sales, food, drinks, merch sales, everything that is paid for the event goes directly to families that are dealing with cancer in their family. So they'll just cut different benefactors $5,000 checks and say, you can do whatever the fuck you want with it. You can go to Italy. You can, you know, pay off.
It's a great charity.
It's unbelievable. It's Dan Wishar and the Wishar family. Like, they're the best people on earth. Tickets are on sale now, and they're selling out like they always do. We got OAR coming out this year. Randy Houser. I'm not familiar with him too much, but
he had some great.
Running out of moonlight.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got some monster country hits. My guys from Philly Foxtrot and the Get Down are going to be out there. I'll be out there. I don't know who from Barstool Chicago. I just anticipate.
I'll be out there.
Yeah. Multiple people will be out there. It's a complete shit show in the best way possible. Tickets you can get for $150 at most, as little as $45. Get the $150 ticket. It's all you can eat and drink. It all goes to different families experiencing, you know, cancer within their family. So that's December 3rd. It's my favorite event of the winter. I look forward to it every year. Like, I mean, $150, all you can eat and drink, to go see an OAR concert for 3 hours. You can't beat that. And on top of the cause, like, that's you know, the cause is like the cherry on top. So December 3rd, be there. And I'll see you there. Chief will see you there. Ed, Carl, maybe see you there. But until then.
Cyber Monday.
Yeah, Cyber Monday's coming up for Barstool. Yeah.
Black Friday, Cyber Monday.
I mix the two up. They're all confusing to me.
But yeah, I think that's it. Barstool Chicago has a ton of sweet shit. The golf shit's awesome. So yeah, make sure you're checking that out.
Yeah, we got the ugly Christmas sweaters. Mm-hmm. Chief's wearing that. I still don't have those, but I want one.
Yeah, if we're watching on video, we have a bunch of stuff that we're selling. Mm-hmm. All four of us are wearing sweatshirts that will be sold. Carl and my hat will be on sale. Chief's pants as well. Unfortunately, Dave's Joe Pesci hat will not be on sale. But
I got this at Target, and I like this hat.
Wow, that's a nice hat.
I bought it because it was green, and I thought I'd be hunting in it, but we got hooked up with the actual camouflage show. But yeah, I can't wait for Wishfest. And
good event.
Everything coming up, too. We got a lot on the horizon in the coming weeks. And the Barstool Bowl. Ed and I will be out to in Tucson for the Barstool Bowl over New Year's. So.
Yeah.
I'll be watching Notre Dame in the playoff.
That's disgusting. It's disgusting to think about. Worst Notre Dame team I've seen in fucking a decade.
Yeah, they're not great, but they've gotten better. They're better than they were when we saw them play Wisconsin, that's for sure.
Happy Thanksgiving to our listeners. Thanks for supporting the show for all these years. All gas.
No breaks.
And DJ, play that shit.